There was I had this email a while back, and in Mount Vernon, Texas, Drummond's Bar began construction on a new building to increase their business. In response, the local church started a campaign to block the bar from opening with petitions and prayers. While work progressed right up until the week before opening, when lightning struck the bar and it burned to the ground. The church folks were rather smug in their outlook after that, until the bar owner sued the church on the grounds that the church was ultimately responsible for the demise of his building, either through direct or indirect actions and means. In its reply to the court, the church vehemently denied all responsibility or any connection to the building's demise. The judge read through the plaintiff's complaint and the defendant's reply, and at the opening hearing, he commented, "I don't know how I'm going to decide this, but it appears from the paperwork that we have a bar owner who believes in the power of prayer and the entire church congregation that does not." And this would be how our week would look without God. All right, this is a week without God. It would be sin day, mourn day, tears day, waste day, thirst day, fright day, shatter day. 7 days without God makes 1 week. Hallelujah. Well, I'm so glad that you're here today. I'm glad I'm here today. Are you glad you're here today? You guys ready for the word today? You're going to see a miracle today. Pastor's going to go shorter than he normally goes. Oh, yes. Thank you very much. Don't forget, this Tuesday, before you cast your vote, pray. And then cast your vote. Amen. Ask the Lord to lead and guide you. How many know that our God holds the hearts of kings in his hand? And he can direct them. You know, we can sometimes develop a negative outlook on our situation as a country, and we see things that aren't right that are happening. But you know what? We still have the ability to pray, and we are living in a day more than ever that we have to pray for our leaders. You don't realize the things that our political leaders are exposed to when they get into an office or a position of authority. And, you know, Satan tries to block godly ones from getting there, but, you know, Daniel was a politician. He served in the court of Nebuchadnezzar and two other Persian kings. David was a king, and he also wore an ephod. So, you know, what our government needs is we need people to call upon God and pray. And we need people to vote. Amen? So don't forget to vote on Tuesday. If you have your Bibles for a moment, I'd like you to go to Psalm 42. The Lord kind of put this on my heart before service today. And I just had this impression that there might be some people that are experiencing some depression, all right? And we're going to break that in Jesus' name. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 42, verse 11, he asks, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." You know, sometimes when we go through life, life can offer, give you lemons. So what do you do with those lemons? You make lemonade, right? But you know what? I just sense that there were some people that are downcast. Why are you downcast, oh my soul? Why are you sad within me? The cure for downcast is hope in God. Hope is expectation, all right? So if you came in here today and you were downcast, you were feeling a little down, a little depressed, things just weren't working out like you thought, amen, you have an opportunity to turn your downcast into hope, and God will lift you up. He's the glory and the lifter of your head, amen? See, when someone's downcast, they're kind of down, but see, God will lift you up. See, because your help comes from above, amen? Your help comes from here. So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I come against those people, Father, who came in here downcast, saddened, distressed, and depressed, Father, right now. And I command that downcastism to go from them in Jesus' name. And, Father, I pray, Lord, that they would be filled with joy. Lord, that they would be lifted up, that hope would flood their soul, Father. Expectation in the goodness of God and how God is going to come back for us. And, Lord, I just thank you right now that they have joy unspeakable and full of glory. I declare that those who are bound with a downcast spirit, Father, Lord, that they'll be set free from that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hope is in the house. You're in the right place. Amen? Listen, all the cares of this world, if you allow them to, they will come in and they will choke the word and make it unproductive. Then you say, well, what do I do, Pastor? You cast those cares unto the Lord. When you get a bill that comes in and you can't pay, you say, Lord, you got mail. Amen? When you're up against something that you don't know what you can, how you're going to get through, the Lord is a very present help. Where? In trouble. Amen? So if you're in trouble, if you're facing difficulties, the Lord is right there. The deliverer is right there. He was in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. King looked in, he said, didn't we throw in three? But I see a fourth man. The fourth man is here today. The fourth man is standing by you. Amen? And when you can't carry on, he'll carry you. So I want to encourage you today, those of you that might be downcast, put your hope in God. When you look at God, your day is always brighter. And you know what? It's just a matter of changing perspective from here to here. You see, everybody do that. Everybody just look up. You see how easy that was to change your perspective? Glory to God. Amen. I'd like you to go to the book of Luke chapter 5. And we're going to finish up today. We have been talking about praying to get results. You know, a lot of people pray, and sometimes a lot of those people that pray, they don't really see the results that they would desire when they pray. And I've heard many people say, well, I pray to God, but it doesn't seem like anything is changing. It doesn't seem like it's different. But you know what? I want to encourage you today that you can get results from your prayers. Your prayers can bring heaven on earth, and you can change your situation. You can change people, and you can even change yourself. Amen? God's in the changing business. And in Luke chapter 5, and verse 16, the Bible says, he's talking about Jesus, and he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Everybody say, he prayed. Notice, he withdrew himself. He made a conscious decision and a choice that he was going to take himself out of his normal routine or of his normal circumstances, and he was going to get by himself, and he was going to get into the presence of God. And Jesus, who was perfect, who committed no sin, who walked who lived a victorious life, he had to pray. And there were times, and I'm sure that he did this more than once, I'm sure he did this probably every day, that he would withdrew himself. He would step back and he would get alone with God. Amen. God is looking for some people who will take time out of their day to get alone with him, to talk with him, to listen to him, to receive direction, instruction, maybe even correction, just to fellowship. Did you know that our God just longs for fellowship with you? He wants to talk with you. He wants to love you. He wants to hold you. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to build you up. He wants to help you overcome any plan that the enemy might have throughout the day to steal, kill, and destroy from you. And the way we avoid those traps of the enemy is through prayer. And he withdrew himself to pray. All right, go to Luke chapter 6. And let's look at verse 12. This is something for leaders to know. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Everybody say all night. You know, when you're about to make a major decision in life, when you're about to enter in to certain relationships, you need God's perspective. You need God's wisdom. You need God's discernment, you know? How many know that God knows the hearts of people? He knows what we're thinking. He knows how many hairs are on our head. He knows people. And notice verse 13. When it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. So before he entered into a relationship, see, he was about to choose 12 people that were going to help him, that were going to walk with him, that were going to serve with him, minister with him, that he was going to impart his knowledge unto them. And he prayed all night before he made the choice of which ones. I bet that while he was in prayer, God was showing him the people, the faces, the names. He was showing, you know, this would be a good one. This would be a good one. Choose this one. Choose this one. He was totally led by God to make the choice into the relationship that he was about to enter into. Now, if Jesus prayed, don't you think we should too? Amen. You know, people are like elevators. They can either take you up or down. And we have got to choose the right ones. You know what? When I first became a pastor, I made wrong choices because I didn't do what Jesus did. And it turned out not to be good. Amen? But, you know, we have such an ability to enter into God's presence and to pray, and Jesus is our example. So he began training these 12 men. He began sharing secret things of the kingdom with them. And out of the 12, there were three that were closer than the nine. Peter, James, and John, they got to go with Jesus where the other disciples didn't go. They got to see him on the Mount of Transfiguration. They got to go and pray with him in certain things where the other ones, you know, weren't able to go. But my point is that you and I, we can come before God and we can pray and we can get his perspective about choices that we make in life. Amen? Now go with me to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. God is so good. See, what Jesus did when he would withdraw himself, you know, sometimes that means getting up early. Sometimes that means staying up late. How many know that because Jesus is Lord, he has the right to dictate our schedule? Sometimes we make a schedule and say, Lord, is this what you want? Well, that's reverse order. We should say, Lord, what do you want? Then make the schedule. All right? But withdrawing yourself in times of prayer to have intimacy with your Father God, it's coming into the secret place. All right? Psalm 91, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, or Shaddai. Hallelujah. You know, getting alone to pray with God is coming into the secret place. Well, you say, well, if it's a secret place, how do I know where to go? Those who know the Lord know where the place is, because he reveals his secrets to those whom he knows. It has been given us to know the mysteries of the kingdom. And for those who know the Lord, the secret place is not a secret. Hallelujah. We have been given access. See, not everybody knows of the secret place. Only those who know the Lord, who walk with the Lord, know of the secret place. And only those who know the Lord have access to the secret place, where you can dwell under the shadow of the Almighty. Hallelujah. See, the secret place was a place to hang out in. The secret place is a wonderful place. It's in the secret place where you experience the joy of the Lord, because he said, in my presence is joy, and at my right hand are pleasures forevermore. In the secret place, there's joy, there's pleasure, there's peace. Hallelujah. The devil can't come to the secret place. When you're in the secret place, the devil can't find you, because it's a secret to him. Because he's not walking with God. Oh, saints, we can go into the secret place and we can dwell there. God wants you to spend some time in the secret place. You know what? You can get in the secret place and you can forget about what's happening all around you. And you look at your watch and say, my goodness, it's been an hour. It seemed like a minute. See, when you're in the secret place, it is a pleasant place. It's a wonderful place. You have intimacy with the King and the Creator of the world in the secret place. That's really what Jesus was doing when he withdrew himself to pray. He was entering in to the secret place. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. You can't get any, the secret place is in the highest place. You can't get any higher. Amen? Hallelujah. The Most High, you shall abide under his shadow. Do you realize? In order for a shadow, in order for you to be under the shadow, his presence can't be too far away. See, look, my shadow right now is casting on Fiona. See, the light is coming. See, God is light. He's the light of the world. And it's when we're in alignment with him that his shadow is on us. That means he covers us. That means he watches over us. That means when we stumble, he's right there to pick us up in the secret place. What are you going to do in the secret place? I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. Say, he's my refuge. He's my fortress. Say, he's my fortress. Say, he's my God. And say, in him will I trust. Isn't that powerful? See, so you it's your refuge. Everybody wants a place to get away, but it's right before us. The best place, you want a vacation? Just spend some time in the secret place. Time in the secret place will be like 1,000 vacations. David said, I'd rather spend one day in the house of the Lord than be thousands elsewhere. He thought that being in the presence of the Lord was so precious, so valuable, so wonderful that he didn't want to leave the place. It is your refuge, your fortress. It's a fortress that the enemy can't penetrate. He can't get in. The enemy has been denied access to the fortress. It's stronger than Fort Knox. It's more secure than the secret bunkers of the White House. The secret place. No enemy, no weapon can come there. No enemy can enter in there. There's no turmoil in the secret place. There's no criticism in the secret place. There's only love, unconditional. Hallelujah. You will not get criticized in the secret place, but you will be accepted in the secret place. And you have to make a choice that you are going to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. How many would like to have lunch with the president at the White House? Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? You know, just, I almost saw President Reagan. My cousin graduated from Eureka College, and it was the 50th anniversary, because Ronald Reagan, I guess, graduated from the same college. He was the commencement speaker when he was president. And we were in line, and the sharpshooters were on the wall. The little Secret Service, 3 helicopters landed. I mean, I got to hear the president speak, but it was from a distance. I mean, if you got an invitation to come to the White House, how would you come? Huh? Would you have a greasy t-shirt and ripped jeans? Huh? Hey, Mr. President, I finally made it here. No, you wouldn't come that way. See, when you come into the secret place, God's given you a special garment called Christ. He said, put on Christ. Put on the new man. Put on the robe of righteousness. You've been made washed and cleaned through the blood. Amen. God threw your filthy garments into the laundry, and he put the cleansing tide in, and as the laundry detergent, he washed your garments. See, when you come into the secret place, you have to know that only the righteous are invited. Those who have been washed in the blood, who has made Jesus Christ their Savior. What is he going to do in the secret place? Verse 4. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings shall you trust. In other words, this is what the Lord will do. He'll cover you with his feathers. You'll be secure. You'll be comforted. This all has to do with prayer. I mean, Jesus just didn't get by himself and repeat a bunch of things over and over and over again. You know, the Bible says that prayer is not made up of vain repetition. But prayer needs to come from the heart. You know, I don't write a list to talk to Fiona every day. Okay, this is what I'm going to say. If I say this, she says this. I mean, wouldn't that be a terrible marriage? Okay, honey, let's get on our list. Let's have a conversation. You see how sterile that would be? But that's how many people pray. You know, the Buddhists, they have a prayer wheel. And they spin the wheel. And it's supposed to send up prayers 24 hours. Spin the wheel. You don't even have to do anything. Just spin the wheel. What kind of nonsense is that? It's nonsense, by the way. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. What's going to happen in the secret place? Verse 5, you shall not be afraid for the terror by night. If you ever have a nightmare, the best place to go to overcome that nightmare is the secret place. There's no fear in the secret place. Nor the arrow that flies by day. Man, when you come out of the secret place, if the enemy tries to shoot an arrow at you, you just dodge it and he'll miss you every time. You know? You'll miss the arrows that fly by day. Did you know that the enemy? See, our shield of faith quenches the fiery darts of the wicked one. Did you know that the enemy has a target on your back with a fiery dart? And he tries to take you out. But we have a shield of faith. And in the secret place, the devil can't even touch you. He doesn't even know where you are in the secret place. Because you're hidden by God. You're hidden in God. Nor the pestilence that walks in darkness. There's no creeps that walk in darkness in the secret place. Nor the destruction that shall waste at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Yes, there could be chaos all around you, but when you're in the secret place, you're protected, you're kept safe. There's no harm coming to you. But you got to choose to go there. You have to choose to take time out of your day. Whatever time you choose, spend some time in the secret place. Get to know God. You know, I'm glad that my marriage to Fiona wasn't arranged. It was arranged by God. But I'm glad that I got to spend some time and get to know her and talk with her and find out who she is. And, you know, when her voice speaks, my ears perk up. I may not always hear what she says, but I know that she's talking. But you see, I got to know my wife by spending time with her. How do you think you're going to get to know God? You have got to spend time with God. And, you know, it involves in His Word, but it involves time in the secret place too, where you and God are just having a conversation. Did you know that God is the best conversationalist in the world? And, you know, He knows you so well that He'll answer your thoughts. This has to do with prayer. This has to do with our Master, Jesus, taking time out of His day. Listen, you either master your day or your day masters you. And you can't serve two masters. Listen, if you don't get God involved in your day, then who's running your day? Only with your eyes, verse 8, shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation. Everybody say habit. You got to have a habit of coming in to the secret place. The secret place is not just on Sundays, but the secret place, you need to go to the secret place each and every day, sometimes more than once, more than twice in a day, depending on what you're dealing with. The bigger problems you have, the more time you have in the secret place, and the quicker your problems will be solved. You know, Fiona pointed out to me one time, Jesus spent more time in prayer before He preached than He did in studying. I thought about that one time. I was like, ooh, you better pray more. I mean, it's good to study, but don't just rely on the study. You got to talk with God. You got to interact with God. Verse 10, there shall no evil befall you, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. Man, I can just see MC Hammer I'm kind of dating myself now. You can't touch this. Don't. He had those big pants, you know, and he slid across the way like this. That was my era. No evil will befall you there. The plague can't even come there. For he will give his angels charge over thee. If you haven't spent time in the secret place, it's like not paying your electric bill for 2 months. They're going to shut the power off. If you haven't spent time in the secret place, your angels don't have a job. Because it's in the secret place where he gives his angels charge over you. Oh God, where were you? God's saying, where were you? Where's my angels? Well, you didn't go to the office. The office is your secret place. Go to the office and spend some time with the Almighty. Make it your habitation. They'll bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the adder. Oh, you're going to take on a lion and the lion and the snakes. The devil roars like a lion, but he's toothless. The young lion and the dragon shall you trample underfoot. You know David? How many know David? David, he was king of Israel. He was a shepherd. He must have spent some time in the secret place before the lion came and tried to take the sheep. Because what happened when the lion came in, David must have just got out of the secret place. And he saw that lion coming to take that sheep. What did David do? He ran after the lion and killed the lion with his bare hands, just like this verse says. He must have spent some time. He must have been watching the sheep, you know, while the sheep were grazing. He was in the secret place. And the Lord says, you better look out. And he looks out and he sees this lion. And something rose up within David. And he, you know, not many people take off after a lion. Usually they run from the lion, not go after it. But you see the power that comes to you in the secret place when you're praying with God, when you're talking with God, when you're having an intimate conversation with God. I'm telling you what, he clothes you with his power. One time when I was in Illinois, I was preaching a message and I was talking about coming out of the closet. That was the name of the message. Now the world has a way of coming out of the closet that's not good, okay? But our closet as a believer, Matthew talks about when you pray, go to the closet, shut the door, and talk with your Father. And those things that are spoken about privately will be rewarded openly. See, how should a believer come out of the closet? We ought to come out with power and authority and ability, and we ought to come out with strength and courage and boldness. This is how we ought to come out of the prayer closet. But how many people do you see? Oh, what happened to you? I just got out of prayer meeting. You know, why are we so defeated? I remember one time, one of my good friends, he came to me, you know, he was looking a little rough. I said, what's going on? He said, oh, my helmet is over here, my shield, my breastplate is over here, and I can't pick up my shield. You know, talking about the armor of God. Like he was just beat up from the devil. I mean, look, the devil's not that powerful. Because if the devil tries to come at you, all you got to say is Jesus. And you put his knees to trembling. So prayer should not drain us. It should not defeat us, but it should strengthen us and give us the victory through prayer. We have the ability to go before God. We have the ability to plead our case. And did you know that Jesus works on pro bono? He doesn't charge you for the cases that he hears. He will accept any case. And he's never lost a case. He's got a better record than Perry Mason. But the question is, how much time have you spent in the secret place? Not only talking to God, but listening. You know, prayer is not always us doing the talking. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that God is God." Be still. Huh. Did you know that sometimes you can just think about the scriptures, think about God, meditate? But we have to go to the secret place and we have to hear from heaven. We started a challenge in our family just 2 days ago. Fiona and I and Gabriel, we are memorizing a scripture a day. And by the end of 365 days, we are going to have 365 scriptures memorized. Everybody say memorized. Listen, you don't always have a Bible with you when the enemy attacks you. So you better carry the word in your heart. You better have some scriptures memorized. There's no excuse for us not to memorize scripture. You better at least know the chapter on where it's found, because when the devil tempted Jesus, he misquoted scripture. And if you don't know the word, he can deceive you, because he's a liar. He's a deceiver. And you've got to memorize scripture. So we've memorized two scriptures already. I'm not going to say them right now, but we've been saying them to each other. I don't want to mess up if I'm nervous or something, but we've been saying it to each other. Even Gabriel, 7 years old, he's memorizing scripture a day now. Some people are looking like, wow, a scripture a day? That was my first reaction too. You know, Fiona likes a challenge. She said, "Let's memorize a scripture a day." I said, "How about one a week?" You know? No, she said, "I want to push. Let's push ourselves a little bit." I said, "Okay, I will be pushed." Sometimes it's good to be pushed. Amen? That's right. Amen. Verse 14. "Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him." You know, just having an attitude of the secret place, you set your love on God. In other words, you get up. Husbands, you look at your wife as Christ looks at the church. If you want to set your love upon him, let's make it practical. All right? Say, "Pastor, now you're meddling." I know. Isn't it fun? You got to meddle a little bit. All right? When we treat our wives, would Jesus appreciate our behavior? Because we have to set our love on him. When we set our love on him, Jesus said, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments," right? Notice they weren't suggestions, right? He didn't say, "These are the 10 suggestions, or the 2 suggestions, or the 2 maybes." He said, "Commandments." Everybody say, "Commandments." There is no ifs, ands, or buts, but to obey a command. You can't change the command. All you can do is obey it and do it. So, when we set our love on God, we're going to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Everybody say long-suffering. Say it with a smile. Say long-suffering. Oh yeah, see, joy comes before long suffering. So in order for you to suffer long, you're going to have joy. So you got to do it with joy. And love, if you don't have love, your faith isn't going to work. So when we're setting our love on God, we are committing to do our best to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. Does that mean we always will? No, but that means you be quick to repent and quick to forgive. All right? When you're not acting as becoming a Christian, repent quickly. Amen? Because there will be times when you miss it. There will be times when you say and do things you shouldn't say or do. We all do it because we live in a human body. The flesh has to be put down. The mind is renewed, but only the spirit is made new. And we have to make our bodies do what our spirit wants it to do. And sometimes that doesn't always cooperate. All right? All right? So when we set our love on God, okay, God, I'm going to do your word today. I'm going to accomplish your will. I'm going to walk. I'm going to have the attitude that you want me to have. I'm going to do what you want me to do. Do you know you can't do that without going to the secret place? The secret place is a mirror image of how we really are. Because the secret place, you're looking into absolute perfection. You're looking into holiness. You're looking into righteousness. You know, James said, he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and walks away and forgets what he heard, he's a forgetful hearer. See? And in other words, so when we set our love on God, it is our desire to pattern our life after him. And the only way we do that is we got to keep looking in the mirror to see if we're looking okay, right? I don't know about you, but I look into the mirror as often as I can before I go somewhere. And if there's a mirror along the way, I look in it too. Why? Because, you know, I don't want stuff on my face or, you know, my hair messed up like that. So I have to keep checking. And we have to keep checking. See, this is the mirror. Ultimately, this is the standard of life. Your standard is not what you've experienced. Your experience will not tell your future. It can only tell the past. But this will give us, does your life stand up with this? You know, Paul, he can't even compare himself with me, and I can't compare myself with him. Why? Because he's not the standard for him. I'm not the standard for him. He's not the standard for me. But the word is the standard for both of us. So how do we as individuals line up with this book? Are you doing what's in the book? Because this is the only authority by which we need to live. And guess what? When something is not being done like the book is not going to change. So who leaves to change? That's you and I, right? We are the ones that have to change our ways. You say, but, you know, God's a God of love. He loves me. Yeah, but he doesn't love some of your goofy ways. He wants us to change. I mean, if we study growth in the Bible, you know, God expects us to grow, to be fruitful, to multiply, to increase. All right, verse 15. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. Notice, when you call upon God, what's going to happen? You're going to get an answer. God will never put you on hold. He'll never have a drop call. He'll never send you spam in email. Not email, but email. You'll never get any spam or junk or anything like that. It's nothing but pure the word. You know, the Bible says, desire the pure word of God that you may grow thereby. So when you call upon him, he will answer. He will be with you where? In trouble. He will deliver you and honor you. With long life will I satisfy him. How many are satisfied yet? I'm not satisfied yet. Is that true? Will God satisfy you with long life? He's come to give you the abundant life, the overflowing life, the more than enough life. And let me tell you, God's abundance is satisfying. It does the body good. And I will show him my salvation. You know, we've only scratched the surface of salvation. The Bible says in Ephesians, it's going to take ages to come to show God's goodness to us. Ages. God is so good. It's going to take ages for him to show us how good he really is. Man, I got all that just by Jesus withdrawing himself to pray. All right? Go with me to Luke chapter 11. Listen, I just want to encourage you to pray. There's no one who knows more about life than God. Parents, God has more children than anybody. He knows how to raise children. How much time are we spending asking him to help us? You know, husbands and wives, God was the one who created marriage. If you want a better marriage, talk to God. If you want your spouse to change, pray to God. Because spouses know that spouses can't change spouses. You can try, but it's not going to happen. Only God can change spouses. When I was not acting like a good spouse, Fiona would pray and sick the Holy Ghost on me. And I'd come home apologizing for what I did, not knowing that that's what she was praying for, but God was working it out. See, we don't give God enough credit. We think we can do stuff on our own. We're still convinced that we can do it on our own, but you know what? I'm sorry, but we need help. We cannot do it on our own. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. It came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, everybody say a certain place. When he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. Apparently, one of his disciples heard him praying. They'd be like, ooh, man, that boy, he knows how to pray. I want to learn how to pray. You know, I would have never thought that people need to learn how to pray, but we do sometimes. Teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say our Father. You know, and we learned that from Nehemiah. He prayed to the God of heaven. Daniel prayed to the God of heaven. Your prayers are directed to the Father in the name of Jesus. Now, the name of Jesus is the only thing that's missing in the Lord's Prayer. Because this was before Jesus was resurrected. But there are principles within this prayer that can help us. So you need to exalt God in prayer, all right? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You need to come with God with praise. Listen, he's more interested in praise. The more you praise God, the greater and the quicker your solution to the problem will be. But the more we talk about the problem, we get into complaining. You ever notice that? The more time you spend on the problem, it's almost harder to get the answer. Sometimes you just take a moment before you pray to praise, to worship, to get your focus on, to put God above the problem, okay? Hallowed be thy name. Reverence God. Praise God. Your kingdom come. Jesus said the kingdom of God is at hand. He said he's given you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God is wherever Jesus rules and reigns. So to an unbeliever, someone who does not believe in the Lord, who's never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord, the kingdom has not come because Jesus is not reigning. Jesus only reigns where people confess him as Lord. Well, I thought God is in control. There are things that God is not in control of. God does not control bank robbers. God does not control murderers. God does not control liars. He's not in control of a liar. Satan is the father of lies. Jesus told the Pharisees, he said, you're of your father the devil. Apparently, God's kingdom was not controlling the Pharisees if they were acting like their father. So the kingdom of God is wherever Jesus rules and reigns. You want God in your home? Then start letting Jesus reign your home. Let Jesus rule your home. You want God in your finances? Let Jesus rule your checkbook. If you don't let God rule your checkbook, then the kingdom of God is not in your checkbook. It's where he rules and reigns. Isn't that right? Kingdom, dominion, that where the king has dominion. Pray that his kingdom come. How many know that we need the kingdom mentality? Your will be done as it is in heaven. So what do we got to find out? We got to find out what God's will is. Pray God's will. Go with me to 1 John chapter 5. We're going to come back to Luke, but go to 1 John chapter 5. And I'm getting ready to close. I'm going to have you out soon today. Because we want a party, amen? 1 John chapter 5. Verse 14, where would you find God's will? Someone tell me, what? The Word. Say this, say the Word is God's will. They're synonymous. Okay? Verse 14, this is the confidence that we have in Him. Notice you're supposed to be confident in who? Yourself? No, in Him, in the Lord. That if we ask anything according to his will. If you ask anything according to his word. You can put both words in there. They're synonymous. They're the same. What's going to happen when you ask according to the word? He hears you. Did you know that God is up in heaven, he's listening to hear his word? What's going to happen when he hears you? If we know that he hears us, how do you know that he hears you? Because you're praying according to the word. The only way that you know God is hearing you is because you're praying in line with his word. Because it says, and if we know that he hears us. Well, the only if there is, okay, am I praying according to the word? Yes, then God is hearing me. That if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, everybody say whatsoever. If there is a scripture in this book that promises you something, you are guaranteed to get that something if you're praying that scripture. We know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Everybody say, we know. That's authoritative. That's of certainty. There's no room. If you're praying scripture, there's no room to miss it. Your prayers will always be effective. All right, let's go back to Luke 11. So when you pray God's will, pray God's scripture. And give us by day our daily bread. How many know that, how many eat every day? Okay. Well, the Bible is considered bread. Jesus said, I'm the bread from heaven. And so we've got to get our daily bread. You know, you got to walk by faith and not by sight. You got to live by your faith. That means every day. Every day, you got to go to the word every day, every day, every day, not on a daily basis. Yeah. I had enough scriptures today to last me for a month. It doesn't work that way. You got to keep getting it every day. Okay? As much as we eat in a day, we ought to eat in a day. Give us our daily bread. God is your provider. He'll take care of you every day. Forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone else. Do we forgive everyone? He graciously forgave us, but do we pass it on? Forgiveness, pass it on. Don't keep it to yourself. Pass it on. Forgive, Lord, forgive me, and I'll also forgive others. We ought to take the forgiveness that we received and share it with others. For we also give everyone that is indebted to us. Lead us not into temptation. God never tempts. God doesn't tempt with evil. We're tempted because we're drawn away with our own flesh. But God always gives an escape. There's always an escape clause. Any temptation that comes to you, there's always a way out. But we don't always take the way out. Okay? Matter of fact, the Bible says he'll deliver us from evil. We read in Psalm 91, he'll deliver us from the snare of the fowler and the arrow that flies by day. Deliver us from temptation. But deliver us from evil. And Matthew added, for thine is the power, the kingdom, and the glory forever and ever. All right. Let me just finish up with some practical things. I'm going to put the icing on the cake. All right? I'm just going to take a couple minutes and we're going to have some icing on the cake. Amen? We talked about Nehemiah. We talked about Daniel. We talked about the early church. We talked about Jesus. Those are all the things that we've talked about in prayer this month. And if you missed any, you can get the CD or listen to it online. All right. What are some things that are going to make your prayers produce results? Number one, you got to pray in faith. The Bible says in James, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and abradeth not, but let him ask in faith. You have to come to God knowing, everybody say knowing, that he already has the answer, and your coming to him is just an exercise of your faith, so you're just getting to, you're receiving what's already yours. You got to believe. You have to believe in God, so you have to come in faith. You have to pray in faith. Well, God, I hope, I might, maybe. Does that sound like faith words? No, it sounds like you're not really sure. You got to be positive, all right? There has to be worship and praise. Hallowed be thy name. You got to worship the Lord, all right? You got to magnify him. How do you worship the Lord? You tell him who he is and what he's done. You're great. You're glorious. You're wonderful. You're the creator. You know what helps me? I go from A to Z. You're the Almighty. I believe in you. I call upon your name. I do the word. Just go through the alphabet and think about qualities and characteristics. That's worship. All right? Your prayers have to be with worship. Number three, there has to be confession. You know what Nehemiah did before he prayed to rebuild the walls? He confessed the sins of the nation that he himself included himself in. He was part of. Forgive us for our evil. When you pray for this country, say, Father, forgive us. Because you know what? We've all had a responsibility to have this country be where it is now. So when you pray, confess. Okay? Adoration. Man, there's no one I adore more than the Lord. You got to have adoration. Thanksgiving. Philippians 4:6 says, let your request be made known with thanksgiving. What are you thanking him for? You're already thanking him because he already has the answer. So you're thanking him ahead of time. Thank you, Lord, that I'm saved. Thank you that I can call upon you. Thank you, Lord, that you're so good and gracious. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. There ought to be some thanksgiving. Amen? Thanksgiving has to do with God, not a turkey. God's not a turkey. There has to be dedicated action. You've got to be willing to act upon what you pray. If you need finances, you got to be willing to give. If you want to witness, Lord, open the doors for me to witness. You got to be willing to speak. There has to be a dedicated action to follow your prayer. Faith without works is what? Dead. And dead people don't do nothing, do they? And I know that's double negative. But I was just making a point. Your prayers have to be word-based. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, the word of faith which we preach. You've got to have your prayers word-based. They got to be based in the word. And you know what? There's a lot of prayers within the word. I call them scriptural prayers. In Ephesians and Philippians and Romans, they're all throughout the New Testament. They're scriptural prayers where Paul actually prayed. You can pray those prayers for you, for a group, or for anybody. Just put their names in it. And your prayers have to be specific and heartfelt. Lord, whatever you want to do, go ahead and do it. That's too general. Listen, if you aim a shotgun at a goose, you might hit one, maybe, you know, because a shotgun has a wider spread. But in prayer, you got to look through a scope, and you got to be more specific. General prayers produce general results. A general prayer is like a Forrest Gump prayer. You never know what you're going to get. A general prayer, you never know what you're going to get. And then your prayers have to be continual and persistent. There's a lot of places in the Bible where it says pray always, pray without ceasing. What does that mean? It just means to be in the attitude of prayer. You know, stop, drop, and pray. Remember, I said it's always a good time to pray. It's never a bad time to pray. Because God hears our prayer. So we got to walk in that. Amen? Now, I'm not sure what the theme is going to be for next week, but God is kind of stirring up some things. So why don't you stand up, please? Praise the Lord. It feels good. I'm done to... You know what? Maybe you're here today, and maybe you came in today full of burdens. You've been weighted down with the things of the world, and you just need a touch from heaven. You need to be anointed with fresh oil. You know, you ever have a squeaky piece of machinery that every time it moves, it squeaks, and the only thing that will take care of it was just some oil, right? Well, God wants to just be the oil on your gears today. He wants to just bless you and to touch you. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit. And I thank you, Lord, that if there's anybody here, they're crying out for more. They just need a fresh touch from heaven. They just need you to lift them up and to be the glory and the lifter of their head. Father, I just pray, Lord, that you would move on their hearts right now and that you would give them strength and courage to respond and to come and receive in Jesus' name. Amen. So